Blog Talk Radio.
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Tell me. Standing up or sitting down, if your feet are on the ground, what you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Think about it.
As you live from day to day, the choices are yours to make. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Come on now.
Keep your head up to the sky and do more than just survive. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Do it for me.
What you got to lose?
Tell me.
Tell me what you got to lose. What you got to lose?
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
What you got to lose?
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Uh-huh. Can you dig it?
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Say that one time.
Tell me what you got.
Hello, and welcome to the What You Got to Lose talk show, where knowledge is power and accurate knowledge is revolutionary. I'm your host, Sherwood A. Grant, and we are, of course, talking about fitness and health. What You Got to Lose program, the 12-week program that's in motion to help you to make some transitions in your lifestyle to improve longevity and vitality. I'm with a couple of my participants, Tiffany and Shay. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I know we started a little bit late because of some technical difficulties. Hopefully it didn't kind of show up with those that called in or even when it records. I have to check that out. But I apologize in case that you had to wait a little bit for the show to come on. We are in week 8 of the program. Man, time fly by, doesn't it? Yeah. When you're having a little fun. So we are in week 8. Last week we talked about many of the things that were supposed to be taking place during the program. And Tiffany, you wasn't here, but you said you got a chance to listen to the show last week, and you said it was a pretty good show, having the reflection of where we're supposed to be at. One of the things I wanted to highlight about that week is that I do understand that because it's one of those programs that you can kind of work at your own pace, that people are not necessarily following as I probably would love for them to, you know. But my whole objective really is just to have people follow, period. You know, if you follow it and try to implement it, if you halfway put into action, you know, that's all right. That's better than what you were doing before. But one of the main things I wanted to make sure that everyone understands is even after the 12 weeks is over and you reflect about what the program is all about, I'm going to repackage it so that it can be presented or represented with a lot of the tools and a format that you can easily follow at any time. And I want you to really reflect back and say, you know what? I'm really ready to do this 12-week thing, and I'm going to follow it to the T. Each and every week, I'm going to do exactly what is prescribed, what is suggested, and I guarantee you, you're going to find a relief and a release that you probably didn't know that was going to take place with 12 weeks, because it is truly remarkable when you have a plan that not only does it help you to learn how to take better care of yourself, but you actually feel better. You know, you feel better, and not only will you feel better, you will also actually have a little bit more balance with diseases, you know. And when you start to eliminate toxins, and when you start to eliminate mucus, and your body starts to reward you by saying, hey, you know what, those allergies, I don't have them as much. Runny noses, headaches, diarrhea, you know, all these things start to disappear, you'd be very much surprised. And you're like, wow, you know, it can happen and you not even know it. So I really, really urge, you know, those that are listening, you know, and you all that are here, you know, to, you know, put your best foot forward, and try to implement what's being suggested. You know, implement it, you know, each and every week, you know, not forget what our plan is, what our TFH, transitional food habits are, and making sure that we have the written homework exercises. I think last week, what did we add, Shay? That's right, you say you forgot. I want to make sure.
We were supposed to do our diary every day.
Uh-huh.
And we cut out meat all week, right?
One day a week.
Oh, okay.
I think we cut out meat to one day a week.
Almost the same.
Yeah, it's almost the same. I'm glad you said that. But wait, one day a week meat, it's not really the same. I tell you, you know, if, generally I try to eat, you know, I might have a burger or something, you know. I used to like to do like something with a little piece of chicken in it, but I'm scared of chicken more so than I am of the beef these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen too many pictures of animals that supposed to have been chicken, and I'm like, what is that running around on 2 feet with a wing? Think it's supposed to be a chicken. And you'd be surprised what hits your plate, you know. And then, you know, with all this genetically modified organism and all this cloning, and, you know, then you have chicken, and you're talking about where the bone at. Sure, I want a bone. Show me something with a bone in it, you know. So I'm really scared of the chicken, and I guess I should be scared of the beef, too, to a certain point also, because they shot up with chemicals. So once a week, eating meat is actually very feasible for a lifetime, to tell the truth. You know, I'm not sure for you all that are embarking upon having a change in your diet, but let me tell you, to have that one day a week that you're eating meat, even if it's just 2 days a week you're eating meat, man, it is very uplifting, you know. Of course, you can't put a title on you and say, okay, I'm a vegan or a vegetarian or anything like that, you know, which I don't really care. I don't really think we should be dividing ourselves up like that anyway. But you will find that you will have better eliminations, you have better sleep, and you have different energy, and you will definitely eliminate any type of weight loss or waste loss, which, you know, actually total up in weight loss also. So one day a week is, you know, is something else, you know. But speaking of that, our transitional food habit, I can jump right into that right away then.
Okay.
Yeah, because it is no meat. Right. Right. You talked up on that very easily. It'll be basically no meat for the remainder of these. We are at week 8, if I'm mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we would be 8. We have at 8, we have 9, 10, 11, 12. So we have 5 weeks, actually, left in the program.
Oh, okay.
You know, so by the time we get to week 9, yeah, it'd be week 9 and all of week 9, week 10, week 11, all of week 12. That's 4 weeks. So we have 5 weeks. So now, this is what I'm going to do. This is the first week and the only week that I'm going to have you to challenge yourself and see if you can do no wheat, no meat at least. And of course, they're going to mean you're going to have to try to, you know, put together some meals
right.
that
so
have
can
meat.
Can you help us by providing some
ideas?
Direction? Yeah, because last week when it was one day
a week,
meat,
right?
I mean, to me, that's all the same because no meat is no meat. What's the substitute? That's where I'm having a challenge. I mean, I could spend all week looking through the internet to identify, but then while I'm looking, I'm eating meat. So, I mean, you know.
Right.
You said, while you're looking, you're eating meat. That's
right.
Funny. Well, you know, the plan is, and this all, I'm always about helping individuals to help themselves. You know, I've really never been that person or that trainer to just say, hey, listen, do this, and you're going to experience this, and after you do that, you know, go back to doing whatever you was doing. You know, I've never been that type of person. I want a person to kind of go through that thought process, go through that challenge of, okay, what can I do? You know, so, but what I am doing, we went down to 1 day a week, hopefully, because we at first was 3 days a week for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in that 3 days a week, the whole objective was those other 4 days, you were figuring out what you can eat and what can sustain you. And then you went down to 1 day a week. Hopefully then you ate more of those things that you had to sustain you for those other 4 days when you was down to 3 days a week. Now that we're down to 1 day a week, there's supposed to be a gradual change and you're supposed to add things to your diet. So what we're doing for the no meat for this week, once again, it is one of those thought processes like, okay, what can I come up with? But next week, I will give you a plan. I will give you meals.
Yay.
I will give you meals. You say you won't be here next week, Shay?
No.
Okay, that's all right. I can fax it over. I can email it over to you by next week. So next week, Sunday, I give it to you so you can have that. But I want you to go through this week, though, with the intent that I'm not doing any meat and what I'm going to eat, you know, that doesn't have meat. Because it does become a challenge, and for those ones that definitely are meat eaters, you know, they generally going to just cut back, you know, for the most part. You're going to have, and I understand that. Some people, I don't know how this goes. Some people going to cut back and say, okay, maybe I can just do this. You know, some people are like, I'm just going to do chicken or I'm just going to do fish then, because fish is meat now. You know, so those ones that I talk about, I've seen some groups get together and they say, oh, we're doing meatless. And I'm like, but you're eating fish and shrimp and anything that can have children is animal and it has flesh, you know, so it is meat. Anything got eyes and that can have a baby is meat.
Well, I have a question just kind of piggybacking off what Shay said, because I think there's a lot of stuff out there, specifically like soy, that are, that people think are healthier alternatives to meat.
Correct.
That are not.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of, I know you want us to do a lot of research ourselves, but I find that, you know, finding substitutes, I'm eating more processed food.
Mm.
Like, you know.
Right.
Like a veggie burger, which might, you know what I mean, which is not necessarily, I guess I can make my own veggie burger.
So it's not, well, let me correct you. I don't want you to have to do a lot of research, because you don't have to do a lot of research, you know. So let's say you want a sandwich and you want a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Me, my favorite sandwich is a vegetable sandwich. I take a couple pieces of spelt bread.
Yeah.
I take some avocados. I take some tomatoes, I take some cucumbers, but my cucumbers, tomatoes, and onions, I put them in a bowl and season it up with a bunch of herbs. I let it sit overnight. I let all these different herbs season into it, you know, basil, cilantro, black cumin, put it in there, you know, and then when I get ready to make my sandwich, I toast my spelt bread, all right? I would then put the cucumber, tomato, and onions. I slice up some avocados. I would actually add some jardinera. And if I made my own dressing, like some sort of dressing for a salad, I may take a little bit of that and spread it on the bread. I put that between a sandwich. And I remember the first time I introduced that to my son when he was a teenager and an athlete. He was like, man, what's that? I was like, a sandwich. He said, where the meat? You know, because my son, he was raised up in a household. Me, I was like, ain't no meat on it. You want some? He ate it. He's like, man, it tastes like it's some meat on here, you know. And you'd be surprised, you know, how satisfying. Because that sandwich, I get one sandwich, and I'm pretty good. I may have some chips with it. You know, I make a smart choice of what kind of chips I'm going to have. I'm going to have me a potato chip. But it's not going to be in all kinds of crazy type oils. It's not going to have a whole bunch of stuff on it. I may even just have some popcorn with it, you know, or you know, something to the side to make it, you know. If you want to make your own French fries, why not? You know, the whole objective is trying to have balance and learning how to have balance.
So on that sandwich, what do you think made your son feel like that he had meat? Was it the avocado? Because I'm thinking the tomato, cucumber, and onions. would not make me think that, but maybe the avocado.
Maybe the avocado did. And then the bread, and has the bread is a very dense belt bread is dense.
Mm-hmm.
And the jardinera too, because it's spicy.
Oh, the peppers.
Yeah, the peppers, okay. Because then peppers also, because it give that spiciness, it actually it helps to satisfy you, but if you eat it, a lot of people look at it and they hear what I just said and be like, oh, that's not going to satisfy me. And I just say, you got to try it. You got to trust me on this. I'm an athlete, a weekend athlete, I must say, or no, I take that back. I play basketball 4 times a week just about.
Mm-hmm.
And I work out and, I ride my bike. And so I have a really good appetite, So I'm like the guy that when I sit down and eat waffles, I'm having 4 of them. I'm having 4 waffles, and I'm eating them all at one time. Ain't nothing else with them. I'm spreading some of my coconut butter on top of it and some 100% maple syrup, and I'm going to work. And so I say that all to say, when I eat my vegetable sandwich, I'm satisfied. I'm definitely satisfied. It's not like I walk away like, ooh wee, I'm still hungry. And because of the herbs is the powerful thing. That's what I talked about last week. We said, hey, if you're going to cook, you got to cook and you got to use herbs, because the herbs is what satisfy you, because it has energy in it. So the more you seek for food with energy, the more you use herbs, then you're going to be satisfied and you're not going to feel like you want more.
Mm-hmm.
Meat per se, it just makes you tired. That's why all your carnivores, after they have a meal, they laying around.
Mm-hmm.
They chilling. We can't do no more. If another zebra, a lion eat a zebra and another zebra walk away, he got a free pass. Because he said, I'm full. I ain't chasing you. What for?
What do you think about mushrooms?
All mushrooms are cool with me, except shiitake.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got that from the body. Not necessarily. I think there are some mushrooms can be toxic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, shiitake.
Portobello mushrooms is one of the few things that reminds me of meat when it's cooked.
Mm-hmm. And for some odd reason, I don't know if I really like it when it's cooked. I like them when they're kind of raw. That's just me. But,
sometimes I just want something hot.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be meat.
Okay.
I just want something hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can saute some onions, but you'll find different things. Just think about it. You'll saute some onions, warm up your bread. That's why I said, that's why I eat a toasted bread. Because I like my, I do it for 2 reasons. The spelt bread crumble up a little bit if it's not toasted.
Mm.
So with it toasted, then therefore it has its form and then it's warm, you'll find some things. And Ashley, you all are right online, and I'm glad. See, I'm thinking about all these things before we have our show. So I brought today a bunch of little books. And the books, because in order to cook and to have some options, you either have to formulate them in your mind, and you can be very strategic in doing so. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of Facebook pages. There's a lot of little websites that people are sharing different ideas for foods. There's a couple that I like to, venture into here and there, but I just go on Google, If you go on Google right now, vegan sandwich or meatless sandwiches, you'd be surprised what come up. Matter of fact, let me just do that right now. If I do meatless sandwiches, recipes.
With flavor.
Of course. Right. But the flavor is your talent. You have to be able to have like some flavor, with your cooking skills and knowing how to put some flavor to some stuff. And a lot of times what you find, all right, so this one, they have eggs in the sandwich. I'm not big on eggs or telling them. This one I see, a barbecue mushroom sandwich.
Barbecue.
Okay. Yeah, barbecue mushroom. They have like olive oil, mushrooms, chopped onions, black pepper, salt, a favorite barbecue sauce, and bun.
I said we can't have high fructose corn syrup.
In your barbecue sauce?
No, I'm saying, well, They have barbecue sauces without high fructose?
Most definitely. Oh. And matter of fact, you learn how to make your own. It's not hard to make none of this stuff. I always tell people, when you look at food, and if somebody put it in a jar and put it in a bottle and made it, that means that you can too. And it's not as hard as you think. You just got to have a little time and don't be afraid to be in the kitchen. I see this Italian sub. This may be something he got on here. Oh, okay. It looked pretty good, too. This meatless Italian sub is with olive oil, wine vinegar, oregano, some lettuce leaves, provolone, pepper jack, cheese, dills, pickle slice, and they got two slices of each of tomato, red onions, bell peppers, and they have marinated artichoke hearts. I like that.
Right, but they seem to still be putting the dairy back in.
Oh, so you could take the dairy out. The only thing in the dairy is that the provolone or pepper jack.
Right.
Yeah, you can take that out. I mean, that's easy. You just take it off, you know. For some people, you know. And I say even in that case, I'm looking for vibrational food. So, of course, we are still supposed to be dairy-less, you know. But I'm looking for you always want to look to increase the vibration of your food. You know, so those are some choices. That's just me Googling, you know, meatless sandwich recipes. And you said you just did a vegan meatless sandwich, and you had some things came up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Vegan soul power.
Okay. Yeah, what I find, it's a lot of different resources out here. We just got to use it.
Yeah.
You know, we use it for a whole lot of other things, but why are we not using it to take care of our bodies?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not using it to have some good ideas for food? That's going to be, you know, you'll find a lot of things. And so, speaking of that, I brought some books that I like. You know, I usually go around and research different books and try to get some ideas to help open up my mind. And in this, I'm going to share with you. I have this one. I think I may mention I'm not part of any type of category, being a vegan or a raw or a vegetarian. You know, I haven't bought into any one of those. I do feel that there are different levels of vibration that each one provides to the eating. Of course, eating more close to nature, I think, is the healthiest. But I also feel that some of the foods that we have in nature, heat supposed to be applied to it. The earth started out, that's what earth was, with just a bunch of heat. The sun is hot. So I think that the heat does, you know, activate a lot of the nutrients. And even when cooking it, it do so. That's why I don't buy it to raw. I do feel that not eating meat is probably one of the most healthiest from disease standpoint too, but I also feel that the food or organic or the natural food that we eat, it doesn't have enough of the nutrients to really truly sustain the body like it should. So I think that in wisdom, when God introduced meat to man's diet, I think that had something to do with it, but I feel you don't have to have meat every day for sure. I feel you can go weeks or months without meat, you know. And you know, when they did the study around the world, Sally Beard wrote a book and talked about the 100-year-old people around the world, and there were five different groups of people that she evaluated, and one of the things they had in common. Definitely four out of the five did not eat meat. They used meat as a broth once a week.
Mm.
Four out of the five. That was their regular regimen, that they were not meat eaters. And when they did eat meat, it was usually in a broth or a soup, and it was once a week. That's what they had in common. You know. So
what's her name? What's the study?
This Sally Beer. Let me see, since I'm using the old computer thing today. Let's see. Her book is called 50 Secrets of the World's Longest Living People. Yeah, great little read. 50 Secrets of the World's Longest Living People. And like I say, there were people, five remarkable longevity hotspots. Okinawa, Japan, Burma, China. It's a place in Italy, semi-Greece, and there's a place in Pakistan that there were people living average 100 years of age or a bunch of people living at least 100 years of age. And the things that they found, it's very enlightening, you know. Definitely helped me to come to some of the conclusions, you know, but I've did my research, I'm kind of all over. So, but this is one of the tools that I utilize. So with that being said, the first book that I was wanting to share that I like, Victoria, what is that? Butchinko?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's very popular. Her and her husband are very popular in the raw world, you know. And so her book is 12 Steps to Raw Foods, How to End Your Dependency on Cooked Foods. Now, I'm not trying to change your dependency on cooked foods. Once again, let me be clear. I like information like this because it gives you options. You don't have to go totally raw, but guess what? Yes, some of your meals should be raw. In the course of a week, you should be having some raw meals. That's without a doubt. That's balance. So I like this book, and they talk about the body, and they talk about a lot of things, you know, everything. I don't necessarily agree with everyone because I do use my thinking powers, and I encourage you to do so too. But one of the recipes that I like that she had this live burger. She called it a low-fat version. And it is combines a ground a pound of sunflower seeds in a food processor, combine grounded sunflower seeds with the following ingredients in a large bowl and mix with your hands. She do with pulp. Carrots. I'm not really big on carrots at all, but carrots, 2 pounds of pulp of carrots, 2 pounds of celery, a medium onion. We have sweetener, 2 tablespoons of sweetener. It's lemon juice, olive oil, jalapenos, poultry seasoning, and Celtic sea salt. You mix well, and you have to experiment to get the desired consistency. Shape into burgers. You may want to use an ice cream scoop to make a nice uniform shape. Serve the burgers on lettuce leaves, crackers, or on the side with a salad. This pate will keep for at least 1 week in the fridge. So that's a raw burger, no cooking, and actually that's a pretty nice little mixture of foods, you know, using the pulp of different foods, blending it down, then putting it together, putting it in a patty, putting it on the bread, you know. And like I say, I always like, for me, toasted, spelt is just such a good option. And they got some other things in here, you know. But I used to tell people, don't necessarily jump into wanting to just eat raw right away if you're a very person that likes to eat cooked food, you know, and you are very much a big meat eater. You know, I'm starting here because this is probably one of the highest vibrational eating that a person can invest in, you know. So you should eat some things raw. Let me see. The next one. Since that was raw, because like I said, I like to have balance, so we got the raw. My next book is called Eat, Drink, and Be Vegan. That's by Drina Burger. And this is a recipe book. And there's a couple things, you know, I always find different recipes that I like. And I like this banana cream pancake recipe.
Ooh.
Yes. It's a spelt flour, baking flour, baking powder, nutmeg, sea salt, light coconut milk, overripe banana, and vanilla extract, coconut or organic, vanilla extract or coconut oil, and coconut oil to coat the pan. And pretty much, if you know about how to make pancakes, pretty much you're mixing these things together, and you're making a batter, and you are pouring it on a hot griddle. It's just that simple. And you see, it heard the mixture. No eggs, no dairy, and fruit. Give it some flavor, you know. So I like that. I'm going to see what else. There's a couple of ones I noted. And like I say, the name of this book is Eat, Drink, and Be Vegan. This olive and sun-dried tomato hummus. All right, because it's a great snack. You make hummus, then you can always have something for a snack. So you're on the go. I think you may mention, Shay, how you're on the go all the time. So hummus is a great dish to make on the go. Chickpeas are definitely high vibration. So we're looking at chickpeas, lemon juice to honey, olive oil. There's garlic they use. I'm not big on garlic, but garlic, sea salt, ground pepper, olives, water, green olives, kalamate olives, and sun-dried tomatoes. And you make hummus. That sounds good, you know. Let's see what else. I think I had one more in here. Let's see. I'm trying to think if I remember picking out any. Oh, this guacamole. Well, I already got some killer guacamole recipes. But, yeah, guacamole is great for snacks. And I'm going to tell you, I forgot to add. So sometimes when I make my sandwiches, if I have guacamole or avocados, I will make a spread with it. So sometimes I eat the avocado raw, or if it's really ripened, I take the avocado, season it up, and make a spread with it. And then I use that also to be on my sandwich. But then one of the things I do, if I go out and I'm having a burger, I'm pretty much putting some spices on my burger. I'm like, hey, give me some jardinera, give me some jalapenos, and give me some avocados. You know, I even may take me some guacamole, and I'm going to put it on top of my burger. Because
you bringing it in?
No. I'm ordering.
Oh.
Yeah. no, but hey, you know what? I'm going to start walking around with my cumin, my black cumin seasoning in a bottle. Y'all know, you know, some people be having it hot sauce or whatever.
Right.
My black cumin. That's my next power food right there. I put that black baby on. I was like, hey, it's dark like me too. Season. I put it on my. I get some pizza, and when I do eat pizza, I sprinkle black cumin, cilantro, oregano.
And what kind of taste is that? Is that a savory, spicy?
It's kind of spicy, kind of savory. It may be in the peppercorn type family a little bit,
okay.
But black cumin, like I say, anything that has darkness to it,
mm-hmm.
Or color, but especially darkness to it, that lets you know it has the power to be able to absorb energy from the sun. That's anything that's dark, absorb energy for the sun. So in my mind, like I say, it's the reason why you ain't supposed to do white salt, white sugar, and white flour. It doesn't have any color, so therefore it's lacking nutrients. But you get something that has color to it, that means it had to go through some sort of transformation to be able to get that color.
Mm-hmm.
And the darker it is, they say the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. That goes for the same thing about your food.
Oh.
You know, I'm just saying. So in my mind, logic says, hey, you know, in order to get color, you eat color. This makes sense to me. So, yeah, you make sure you start to search out your activated, your charcoal, your black cumin, any seasonings that's dark, and then, of course, those with color. And if you actually go to, at home and take all your seasonings and just look at it, and group it in color, you'll find that there's certain colors that goes together. So there's going to be a red group of seasonings. There's going to be this earthy group of seasoning. Then there's going to be this green group of seasoning. And then there's going to be this dark group of seasoning. And if you start to group the seasons together, I say that should be your first approach to understanding what seasons go well with one another.
Hmm.
Got to think about this, that our food was given to us by our Creator, and it was by design He created this. So first man, perfect man, perfect woman, or whatever the case may be in the beginning, how were they to know how to use the food? They had to use some of their senses. They had to look and see, okay, and what they see, color, shape, they had to taste, you know, but the easiest way is to be able to, look at the color and then group them together, and you'd be surprised. And then you can start to cross, you know, blend them and see what you come up with. But I suggest that you start there first. So, eat, drink, and be vegan. All right, so now I'm going to go to what I got. A book called Vegan, Fire, and Spice.
Mm.
Vegan, Fire, and Spice. 200 Sultry and Savory Global Recipes.
I would like that one.
By Robin Robertson.
I like savory and spicy.
Yes. And, of course, like I said, I always keep my little notations that I like. So he has this, this grilled vegetable fajita. Mm. Portobello mushrooms, limes, garlic, chilies, cilantro, salt, onion, bell pepper, zucchini, and flour tortillas. Mm. And speaking of that, the other great thing that I love making, I make my own spelt tortillas at times. Mm-hmm. All right, so and it don't take much to make any flour tortillas, you know. So we can't be afraid of the kitchen in this journey. So making your own flour tortilla, if you don't want to make it, you can go get some flour tortillas. But I like using spelt, you know, for my tortillas because I like that grain better. And having a vegetable wrap. Very, very. And now you can add, because now you can just wrap it up. You can get your own juices. You can just throw a bunch of stuff in it and wrap it up. You know, and at times I use also nori flakes or nori sheets. You know what nori sheets are?
Mm-hmm.
Nori sheets. Okay, for Shay said, no, nori sheets, if you had sushi,
mm-hmm.
that's what they are wrapped up. Those are nori sheets. So you can buy nori sheets in the packages. So I got a couple of 50-pack nori sheets. And, you know, if I'm like really in a crunch for something and I don't have any tortillas prepared or bought, you know, I can just take the nori sheets and I take vegetation and throw it in the nori sheets, wet it on the tip, wrap it up, slice it up, and boom, I have my own sushi with vegetables or with avocados mm-hmm. or with guacamole or whatever and put it in there, and you can do a whole lot with that. So these are how you get now when you and when you eat some of these things, when I talk about the spelt tortilla, man, I've had spelt chips. You know, you make the tortillas a little bit thicker, and you bake them or put them on the oven, and you eat those, you'd be satisfied. Just you know, let alone, you know, if you have this nori flakes or nori sheets are very nutritious. You know, it's a sea vegetation, the nori. They're very nutritious, and you'll find that when you have these nutritious foods, your body will not crave what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So meat becomes a second thought. Because when you eat it, because meat is not what satisfies you. You know, it really is not. Because I was a meat eater. I never was big as a scavenger eater, but I did eat some ribs. But even then, it just didn't really digest well with me. So I guess for me, but I love, I like my fried chicken. You know, I love, you know, the burgers, you know, so, but when I started to eat a healthier choices and start to seek out, it was easy, you know, to be able to make a transition and not feel that I have to have the meat. And that's where I want you all to get. That's what I was trying to teach in this program. Through a 12-week transformation by just cutting back, you'll find you will not have to have it. And, a matter of fact, some places I can go in and you smell it. You're like, ooh, wee, that's some foul smelling meat. Something don't smell right, and you don't even want it. You know, so, that's one of the, I said that's the second line of defense. First one is knowing what real food look like, tastes like, and smell like, you know. So that first line of defense, know what food smell like before you start to, and when you start to get some of these flavors and start to get some of these herbs, let me tell you, you're going to be drawn to them, and herbs has power in it. So what else in this book? The Vegan Fire and Spice. I like the fact that he has global recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So they go around the world. So now that first recipe was from what part of the world he said? Cause
Mexico, Southwest, maybe.
It may be Mexico. You are correct. Mexico. Yeah. Right. So the next one is in South America that I have that I like. The quinoa stuffed avocados.
Ooh.
It's a quinoa, olive oil, red onions, ripe tomato, parsley, salt, fresh ground black pepper, avocados, lemon juice, and four butter lettuce leaves. Have you ever had a butter leaf?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, have you?
Like
you say yes? Yes, it's very good, savory type of lettuce. And there are some leaves that are nice in size, so then therefore when you make some things, you can wrap your food up in it. And this is how you learn how to use your own food. So and when I say there's a lot of food out here, there's no reason for people to eat some of the stuff that they eat.
I like that book.
Yeah. and my favorite, one of my favorite dishes, and I have a recipe in my cleansing program for gazpacho. Have you had gazpacho? From Spain. Gazpacho is from Spain. That's a very good dish. You know, when you're using tomatoes, onions, bell peppers, cucumbers, chives, tomato juice, wine vinegar, olive oil, black pepper, parsley, basil, dill, and cilantro, either or a combination of them. You know, and you make this soup. It's a soup. Great tasting soup. I've had a couple of clients that make great variations. And this is, you say you like the book too. It is probably my most marked book, you know, of recipes that I like in there. And like I say, for the fact that it comes all over the world, this one in Africa, chickpea falafel, you know. Yeah. And so this is a good book. You know, this is a pretty good, all the books are pretty good.
Right, because when I think of vegan or some of these other approaches that you spoke about, the one thing I know I'm always craving some savory and something spicy.
Yes.
So to know that the book is even called that,
yes,
you know, Fire and Spice, makes me think, okay, this is something that's going to be able to handle my craving.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So good. Fire and Spice, vegan Fire and Spice, by Robin Robertson. All right, so now we're going to come down to those ones that like smoothies. I like this one by Pat Crocker. She has what's called the Smoothie Bible. And what I like about her, because she has also, well, let me talk about the Smoothie Bible. What I like about the Smoothie Bible, in this book, she talks about the herbs. So all the herbs, because in this smoothie, it's just not, and she even talk about diseases. So you hear the osteoporosis, and she talk about the disease, and then talk about the herbs, or suggest a smoothie to actually, you know, to go with the insomnia, you know, irritable bowel syndromes, kidney stones, whatever, and then we talk about the different herbs, passionate flower, peppermint, parsley, plantain, red clover, rosemary, rose, and talk about what they are, what parts to use, and then the healing properties in it, and the new uses. So this is a really good book.
So it's a smoothie Bible, but they've got a section dedicated to herbs.
To herbs, and a section dedicated to diseases. And then it gives you the section where you go to get the actual recipes for the smoothie.
Wow.
And you see the smoothie. And one of the things I learned from this approach is this is probably the first time I learned how to make smoothies by using teas as a base. So now you take teas. Whether you are sun, you know, making it with the sun, or you just, you know, taking some herbs and making your teas and using that as a base when you're mixing it with fruit and ice and certain things. So but the thing is, once again, I like it for suggestions because I want to eat clean. There are certain things I don't eat. You know, carrots, corn, yogurt, you know, garlic, you know.
What's
so
garlic?
It's poison. I mean, it's medicinal. It's a medicinal, medicinal food, but for overall, it's a poison. You know, you can make some garlic. I used to make some garlic spray, and you can make it and put it on your skin, and you won't get bit by mosquitoes.
Nor will anyone talk to you.
Right. It's the reason why that garlic has that kind of smell to distract, you know, people away. And it's poison. It really is. So you can do the research. Okay. This is some debatable stuff, but there are some parts of the world that, you know, it's unforbidden food, you know, for forbidden food at least. that is like, hey, we monks, we do not touch garlic, but they don't touch onions too, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in certain parts. So, you know, but for me, medicinally, garlic, if you put it in your system, is going to come out. So if you got some worms or parasites and you're trying to get out your system, then I might say, yeah, but garlic is a good thing to use because it's one of the few foods that when you eat it, it comes out your pores. So if it can, it comes out your pores and extract other parasites and force these parasites out too, then I feel it has a medicinal value. But a nutritional value, you don't ever hear say, hey, you smell like a strawberry. You smell like orange. You smell like, no, because your body takes that and uses it. It's not trying to spill anything out. So, you know, that's my thought process and logic in trying to make, you know, good choices. So with that, with this, you know, there's a lavender smoothie, you know, that you're using lemon balm flower, dry lavender flowers and leaves, plum that's peeled and pitted and chopped, apricot that's peeled, pitted, and chopped, and grapes. They say seedless, but I usually say let's go for the seed. So there's some,
okay,
I like the foundation.
Because I have still yet to be able to find some grapes to seed.
Then therefore I would just, hey, continue to demand it and let people know. I want some grapes with seeds.
Do you know where you can get grapes?
I think certain farmer markets you can find them at.
And they don't have them at Whole Foods.
The red
no, they don't have them at Whole Foods.
More so than the green ones.
Correct. The red ones do, more so than the green ones.
Right.
And you got to search around for certain stores. But no, Whole Foods do not. I'm a little bit disappointed at them, you know, because they've been selling a lot of seedless foods. But all this stuff is by design. Like I said, it's going to be a food war. But I would definitely, I'm not a big grape eater for that reason. I used to love grapes, but for that reason, I'm not. And, you know, I choose to find some other herbs and some other foods, you know, instead of that. So I will pick up on something else, you know, if I, not that I miss, and if I eat the grapes, I'm not eating a whole lot of them, you know. So that's the balance I seek. Once again, it's going to the principle that God said, eat things above the ground that have a seed in it. So I don't want to, you know, just wait for, you know, kind of shove that under the rug. Let me find majority of my foods will have a seed in it. You know, even when I mentioned the vegetable sandwich, all those come from a seeded food. You know, so whenever you eat food, then its vibration is not quite as high as the seeded food. Then just know that its vibration is not going to be quite as high. So don't eat it all the time. So with the smoothie Bible, she also has the juicing Bible. And the same principle. You know, I see one for uterine fibroids. You know, it talks about the disease or dis-ease. And then it talks about cleansing tea or hormonal balance tea. Let's see what that looks like, a hormonal balance tea at page 222. We got a hormonal balance tea that has you having red raspberry leaves, chaste berries, lemon balm, stinging nettle, yarrow parts, red clover flower, ginger root, chamomile flower, and rosemary. And this would be a tea blend that you'll have. So this is not necessarily juicing, but this looked like a tea blend because she said in an airtight tin dark colored jar, blend together the raspberries, the berries, the lemon balm, the stinging nettle, the red clover, the ginger, and the chamomile, store in a dry, cool place, and then to make a tea, crush a small amount of the blend into a fine powder. So this is a different way of making your own teas, but it has a whole lot of other different types of options. I see a spiced cabbage for digestion with a cabbage, fennel bulb, apple, ginger root, and cinnamon. And then they're juicing this. That's coming to juice. And I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised what some of this stuff tastes like when you juice and you add some herbs to it. I remember the first, because I'm not big on juicing, because I feel that you should try to eat majority of the food, but I have had some juices, and for some people that really need to get nutrients to their system right away, it might be a great option for them to start out, but you definitely want to try to eat as much of your food as you possibly can. And we had some kale, some cilantro, it was some grapes and some ginger that I juiced. That was good. Yeah, that was real good, you know. So you'd be surprised. So the Juicing Bible, this is the second edition, and the Smoothie Bible, both by Pat Crocker. A lot of information she presents. Now for those that want to do green, the Healthy Green Drink Diet. This is by Jason Manheim. You know, and there were quite a few little recipes I like that he had in here too. Mango Mint Mojito. He has some great colors too and pictures in his book. Mango Mint Mojito. You know, and that was with a mango, green lettuce, mint leaves, juice lemon, juice lime, and a banana as being optional. You fill the blender up with as much ice as you can. You add the mint greens, the mint and the greens, blend until smooth, add your fruit, and pulse blend until desired consistency. That sounds good. You know, you got to find some good mangoes. Here goes this Just Peachy, which is pretty simple. 4 whole peaches and 1 to 2 cups of spinach and some water. So his smoothies are very simple, but I like the mix. Here's this grape pear. You got green grapes, pear, kale, orange that's peeled, and banana is optional. I think you usually throw these bananas in to get a different consistency. But once again, I have my own principles. So with those principles with food combining, I don't feel that you should have sweet fruit with acid fruits. So banana and orange may not be the best blend for the body for digestion, you know. Like I say, a lot of his bananas were optional or just shared. So I keep that in mind too. So once again, it's one of those things, take the information, what you can use, and have a thought process behind it. And what I have here, how much time? Okay, good. We're good on time. For those that have invested in probably the most popular item that's out there right now, it's the NutriBullet. I like what Dave Wolf is doing. And when I purchased my NutriBullet, I bought it offline and had the option to be able to get NutriBullet Natural Healing Foods book with it. So you look out for this. You might can purchase it separately. But I know I got it with my purchase when I purchased offline. But I think if you go to the store, Target or whatever, I don't think that they come with it. Mm-hmm. But he has some blends in there to definitely utilize, a place to take notes, talk about different things. So I like the book. I like the whole concept. I haven't really used this book, so I can't give any suggestions right away. But I've seen that he had quite a good options for a lot of different foods. So the NutriBullet Natural Healing Foods.
So I researched the NutriBullet, just to go sidebar for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I researched the NutriBullet and I was like this close to purchasing it,
mm-hmm.
and decided when I heard some of the reviews that it's not a cold drink preparation.
Correct.
Kind of device.
Correct.
It was more so a blending. So
exactly.
I ended up going with the Magic Bullet because I could crush ice in it. And that was like kind of the only difference that I thought, because one of the reviews was talking about at the end the juice, the results were warm from the machine.
Yes.
So that to me was like, oh gosh, you know, I was this close, and then when I felt it was warm.
Well,
it's just warm from the
temperature.
No, it's just from the machine blending. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. So that was, but I'm sure if you had time, again, I don't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So to now then put that in the refrigerator and wait for it to chill was going to be extra time.
So if you're using products that are already refrigerated, does it still end up making that warm?
Well, just the machine warm. It's got to blend it. Well, he can tell you.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you say you're using products already in the refrigerator.
Like, you know, your fruit and everything is already cold.
Oh, okay.
You put that in there.
Yeah, it might have, it might be a little warm once it blended. But my solution to all that is.
Make it the night before or something.
Yeah, you make it and you just put it in a cup and put it in the refrigerator.
I know.
Or my other solution to it, if you have a recipe that you're using, you know, like I have a NutriBullet and I have a Vitamix.
Okay.
All right. So if I really want to use, you know, really get off into making some things, I've only used my NutriBullet to make salad dressing.
Oh. All right. Interesting.
Yes. So I use my NutriBullet and make tons of, I make a couple of different salad dressings. I'm going to tell you, taking glass bottles of old salad dressing, because glass, right now, my biggest thing is if you got anything you buy that comes in a glass bottle, save it, wash it, take off the sticker, and make it your own. I've taken my, even when it comes down to when you buy your spices and when you buy your herbs, make sure you get the ones in glass bottles. Invest into the ones in the glass bottle because you can take off the herb top and you can go get the herbs easily. I went to a Mexican store and got me some cilantro. I got me some get in a bag. And even like my black cumin, I get it offline. So I buy it in the bag or even turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
I buy it, in bulk. And if you have your own glass jar that has already got the holes, because you can just pop that off. You know, if you ever pay attention, you can just pop that off, wash it, let it dry, take off the sticker. I got a little labeler. I put what's on it and put it on top of the jar. And boom, I got me a fresh jar to use and reuse. So those are kind of the, until you go into the kitchen and play around and think about how I want to recycle, how I want to store, you come up with these little ideas like I did. All right? So, NutriBullet, make my own recipes for my dressings and putting in the bottle, using vinegar, using apple cider vinegar. And, you know, they last pretty long. I think I have one that's been a couple of months. It's been lasting. Did it last, you know? And, then you play around with different herbs and different seasonings. I have to, you know, it takes a little time, so you try to, you know, do the best mixture you can, but the only way you're going to learn about mixtures of things is to cook, you know. And it's not that you have to just go in there and try to make blended salad. Once you start cooking in general, that's why I like using cookbooks. Because there you have some people that they put some things together and, you know, you can spice it up, make it better or whatever, you know. My last book, though, they have some, I think, I'm not sure if I shared this. I want to say I may have earlier on, but maybe not. This is not necessarily a cookbook, but he has some great recipes. And he, David Wolf, is actually the inventor of the NutriBullet.
Okay.
Yeah, David Wolf is the inventor of the NutriBullet. And this book, Eating for Beauty, is a great read. All right, talk about food and the beauty of food and how you can tell. And one of the things, I'm just show you, I can't wait till I have a show that I can have Skype and all that kind of great stuff. But you can see, like, this is, he has, I'm going to find something that's really, because what they were able to do were put different items under a camera and the showing the image, and is remarkable to see the glow that the images have. So right there is a kiwi.
Ooh.
And you see the kiwi is a raw, there's one that's a commercial one and there's one that's an organic one. And taking a photograph of them, you can see, and then you look at the glow of the energy, because what the picture device that they're using was kind of to help to distinguish, so you can see how that, yeah, it is deep, you know, how you, and our human bodies is like that. We're really, when you look at your hand, you're really just looking at energy, you know, in actuality, it's really just energy. So to be able to see food and be able to see a picture of how energetic it is compared to processed foods, really enlightening. It's really enlightening to be able to see, you know, let me see, cooked corn. So this is just even with corn. There's one that's cooked and there's one that's raw. Mm. And you can see the lighting of the one
energy
that's
is
raw.
Yeah, more energy.
More energy. So that's why I always look at food as energies and vibration. If you start to look and know what it is, then you start to see that, hey, some of the things you put in your body doesn't have energy. If it doesn't have energy, you will get sick. And if your body is not getting any food with this energy in it, it's not going to be able to heal itself. So you got to seek food that has energy. Food's above the ground that has a seed in it. All right?
No corn.
but not necessarily no corn. Yeah, corn is not on my list of foods to eat. All right? So we got next. We're going to try to do this week with no meat, or we're going to have some options, seek out some options, make some investments, you know, find a cookbook, or you know what, a lot of these you can just go to the library, take time and do some of the basic things that we used to do or should have done when we were younger. Go to the library, pull your library card, go in there, spend an hour, couple of cookbooks, take a picture. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. Right now you can take a picture of the recipes that you like in the book and go home and walk away and use it. You know,
I like to do like you do, though, with the tag.
Yeah, I like to tag my stuff, you know, yeah. And, you know, have some favorites that I go to and utilize them and put them to use.
Well, I just ordered my books.
No, okay. All right, good. You just ordered?
Three books.
Three books. Good. Amazon?
Uh-huh.
Good. That's the best choice that I found. You know, so good.
Used.
Yeah, you can find used. Why not? And generally, if you get, what, $25, you can get them shipped free, order $25 of stuff.
Yeah,
you
I know? Think they charge me shipping on this one.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
harder with
because,
the used ones.
Right, because it's going from different
okay.
locations.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'll be bargain shopping. So I was like, hey, listen, I create a wish list for books that I want, and then as I order some things that I know that's part of that shipment, then I put them all together so I can get my stuff shipped free.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate the thoughts and your time for the show. We will be here next week. Shay, you I think you did say that you will not be around, so that means you're going to, that's me and, Tiffany, we're going to be at it then.
I thought you were bringing us a treat today.
Yes.
You know, the treat was initially, you know, I wanted to bring one of my chef friends, you know, but I couldn't. I may have a couple of them to chime in a later show, you know, but in the meantime, it's like, Liz, let me share some ideas, you know, for foods. All right, so once again, thanks a lot, and you all have a great day. And all those listeners, if you have any thoughts or comments, definitely make sure you hit me up through Facebook, Twitter, or any of my website, SherwoodAGrant.com. All right, what you got to lose?
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Or sitting down, if your feet are on the ground, what you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Think about it.
As you live from day to day, the choices are yours to make. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Come on now.
Keep your head up to the sky and do more than just survive. What you got to lose? Can you dig it?
What you got to lose? Tell me.
play that one time.
What you got to lose? Tell me, what you got to lose?
Can you tell me what you got?